Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. In Stonewall Jackson, the man, the soldier, the legend, James I. Robertson, Jr. offers a major historical biography of Confederate General Thomas Jonathan Stonewall Jackson. The book belongs to the Civil War biography genre, but its purpose is broader than recounting campaigns and battlefield movements. Robertson studies Jackson as an orphan, teacher, husband, Presbyterian believer, disciplinarian, tactician, and public symbol. Drawing on extensive manuscript collections, letters, newspapers, and other primary sources, he aims to separate the historical Jackson from the legend that grew around him after his death. The result is a deeply researched portrait of a man whose military brilliance was inseparable from his habits of self-control, religious conviction, personal eccentricity, and intense sense of duty. While the book covers major battles such as the Valley Campaign, Sharpsburg, Fredericksburg, and Chancellorsville, it remains centered on explaining how Jackson understood himself and why contemporaries found him both inspiring and difficult. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Robertson reconstructs Jackson through primary evidence rather than inherited legend. A central strength of the biography is its effort to move beyond the familiar post-war image of Stonewall Jackson as a nearly mythic Confederate warrior. Robertson uses a large body of manuscript material, correspondence, newspapers, and institutional records to build a more grounded account. This method matters because Jackson became the subject of intense memorialization after his death, especially in Southern memory, where battlefield success and religious devotion were often blended into a simplified heroic figure. Robertson does not discard Jackson's reputation for discipline, courage, and tactical imagination, but he tests it against evidence from different phases of his life. The book also corrects or qualifies popular anecdotes, including exaggerated claims about personal habits, by asking whether they illuminate the man or merely repeat folklore. This evidence-based approach gives the biography its authority. Instead of treating legend as the starting point, Robertson treats it as a historical problem. Readers see how reputation forms, how memory selects details, and how a biographer can respect a subject's importance while still questioning inherited assumptions. Secondly, Jackson's religious faith is presented as an organizing force in his life. Robertson gives sustained attention to Jackson's Presbyterian faith because it shaped his daily conduct, his interpretation of events, and his approach to command. The book does not reduce that faith to a stereotype of harsh Calvinism. Instead, it shows religion as part of Jackson's internal structure, a source of discipline, consolation, confidence, and moral seriousness. His habits of prayer, Sabbath observance, and providential thinking influenced how he endured hardship and explained danger. This emphasis is important because Jackson's military behavior can seem cold or rigid if separated from the worldview that gave it meaning. Robertson shows that Jackson believed duty had spiritual weight, and that this belief helped him accept risk and demand obedience. At the same time, the biography does not present faith as a simple explanation for greatness. It also helps explain his social reserve, inflexibility, and occasional inability to understand others who did not share his assumptions. The result is a more complex portrait in which belief is neither ornament nor excuse, but a central interpretive key. Thirdly, the military narrative emphasizes mobility, secrecy, and aggressive timing. Although Robertson insists that the book is not only a military biography, Jackson's battlefield career remains essential to the argument. The account explains why Jackson became one of the most studied commanders of the Civil War. He moved rapidly, guarded operational intentions closely, and sought to strike before enemies could organize an effective response. These qualities were most visible in the Shenandoah Valley Campaign, where speed and concentration allowed his smaller forces to frustrate larger Union plans. Robertson also gives attention to less successful moments, including Jackson's uneven performance during the Seven Days' battles, which prevents the military portrait from becoming uncritical. The value of this approach is that it connects battlefield results to habits of mind. Jackson's secrecy protected plans but could confuse subordinates. His aggressiveness created opportunities but also depended on endurance that strained men and animals. His discipline produced momentum but sometimes narrowed his communication. Robertson therefore presents Jackson's generalship as a practical system with strengths and costs rather than as mysterious genius. Fourthly, Jackson's partnership with Robert E. Lee changed the strategic reach of the Army of Northern Virginia. The biography places Jackson within the wider Confederate war effort, especially through his relationship with Robert E. Lee. Robertson shows that Jackson's value was not limited to individual battlefield success. He gave Lee an instrument of operational mobility, allowing Confederate forces in Virginia to maneuver boldly despite limited resources. Lee could rely on Jackson to execute difficult movements with speed and determination, and that trust-shaped campaigns in which divided forces and rapid concentration became possible. This partnership did not mean the two men were identical. Lee had a broader political and strategic temperament, while Jackson was more inward, severe, and often less communicative. Yet their complementary qualities gave the Army of Northern Virginia unusual flexibility. Robertson also treats Jackson's death after Chancellorsville as more than a personal tragedy. It removed a commander whose habits matched Lee's aggressive style. The book avoids reducing later Confederate defeat to one man's absence, but it makes clear why Jackson's loss forced changes in how Lee could operate. Lastly, the biography balances admiration with attention to difficulty, limitation, and contradiction. Robertson's portrait is admiring, but not simply celebratory. Jackson appears as determined, devout, brave, and intellectually serious, yet also awkward, demanding, secretive, and sometimes severe. This balance is one reason the book has been treated as a major work on its subject. Rather than smoothing away contradictions, Robertson uses them to explain why Jackson was both beloved and difficult. As a teacher and officer, he could be rigid. As a commander, he inspired confidence yet often left subordinates uncertain about his intentions. As a religious man, he showed humility before Providence while also displaying striking competence in his own sense of duty. The biography also explores the distance between Jackson's private self and public legend. His death at Chancellorsville, after being accidentally shot by Confederate troops, intensified the transformation of a complex person into a symbol of sacrifice and lost possibility. Robertson resists that flattening. He allows readers to understand why Jackson became legendary, while still insisting that the legend is less interesting than the disciplined, conflicted human being behind it. In conclusion, Stonewall Jackson, the man, the soldier, the legend is best suited for readers who want a full-scale biography rather than a brief account of Civil War battles. It will especially benefit students of military history, Civil War enthusiasts, readers interested in religious character and leadership, and anyone studying how historical reputations are created. Its practical value lies in showing how command depends on discipline, timing, trust, communication, and the ability to act decisively under uncertainty. Its intellectual value lies in its careful separation of evidence from myth, compared with shorter or more narrowly military studies of Jackson. Robertson's book stands out because it integrates childhood, education, marriage, faith, command style, battlefield performance, and posthumous legend into one sustained interpretation. It does not treat Jackson only as Lee's lieutenant or as an icon of the Confederacy. It treats him as a historically situated person whose strengths and flaws were closely connected. The level of documentation and narrative detail can be demanding, but that density is also what gives the biography its lasting authority. For readers willing to engage a substantial work, it remains one of the most important modern studies of Stonewall Jackson and a significant contribution to Civil War biography. If you would like to support James Robertson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.